This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I got some things that matter, huh?
It's time for Things That Matter.
The things that matter.
Matt Spiegel brings you the things that matter from Cubs and Sox spring training.
The Spiegel guy. What's his first name?
You're supposed to know that.
Sorry, is that offensive?
Focusing on things that matter.
They're the things that matter. So we decided to go on ahead and call it Things That Matter.
Sorry, Danny, for being interested in baseball nuance in the bullpen.
No. I'm interested, too.
These things do matter.
Things That Matter on 670 The Score.
Was Danny actually interested, for the record?
Oh, no. Certainly not. If we're being honest.
Can we just revisit that part of this open?
I think we did. Felt good. No, look, somebody, in his defense, nah.
Yeah, what could you possibly say?
No, but there's a lot, man.
I've been to a baseball game with Danny. It was an entertaining time.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. You can debate whether the battle between Gage Workman and Jonathan Long for third string first baseman.
Let's go.
You can debate whether that matters. As of today, I'm saying no. But there are things that do matter coming out of Cubs camp and Sox camp in terms of the season you will watch on the field. And the first thing overall, Layla, is the Craig Council effect, which I just watched and talked about with players and others up close. Here's Jed Hoyer talking about Craig Council here in year number two.
This is Craig Council's second year as manager of the Cubs. Have you noticed anything different about him? I mean, I know for the beginning of spring training last year is a little bit like, you know, drinking out of a fire hose when you've been with one organization since you retire in 11 until last year in Milwaukee. And he just had a lot on his plate coming into last year.
Yeah, he seems so much more comfortable. He knows the people. He knows the plays. I think he has a, you know, so as a result, he knows exactly what he wants to do with this group. No question. It feels very different. And you know, last year, we had a very similar team coming back, and he was the variable. And that's not how he wants to operate. You know, he was sort of, you know, there's a lot of attention on him. People were talking about him a lot. That's not at all how he wants to operate. And I think this year, he's exactly in the role he wants to be in, and he's been great all spring.
You know, when Council took over, he talked about how it's a lot of little decisions every day that add up to managerial value.
Indeed.
And I believe in that. And now he's more free to do that. And all the people that are there now are either people he knows, you know, how to talk to and motivate, or they're people he was part of acquiring. So there's a different level of investment and effect that he can now have. And I bet you as a baseball human, Layla, can appreciate that way of defining managerial value.
And, you know, we talked a lot with his predecessor when the Midday Show had the David Ross managerial interview about knowing your personnel and knowing how to manage them. But when you see what that could mean as far as how he envisions the roster and how he will utilize it in a whole season moving forward, I think then you start to really see that take place. The subtext here, I think, is also last season of his contract, Jed Hoyer is already more candid, and I'm here for all of it. Like, give me more candid Jed this year, because I always thought he was great to listen to, but he seems to be saying more this year than he's said in years past.
He says it about both levels of management that surround him. He's more frank about Craig Counsell, and if you listen, and it's not hard, he's more frank about ownership, too.
Indeed.
You know, in terms of what he can do and what he can't do. So I agree, it's a pretty fascinating thing. But, man, the quality of at-bats from the veterans on the bottom of this roster will be so much better. Like John Birdie, Nicky Lopez, if he makes it. Even like some of those guys will be so much better than the Miles Mastrobonis and Nick Madrigals of the world. And that is by design and with counsel's blessing.
Justin Turner.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, and how much did you hear players talk about him? That's something we'll get into later, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Kevin Alcantara is the talk of spring training at Cubs camp in terms of the skill set. Here's Craig Counsell talking about the tools of Kevin Alcantara.
You know, he's still just kind of getting there as a player. There's nothing. Everything is available to him right now. And it just continue to kind of stay on that path of getting better, of becoming consistent, of really just gaining experience. And those things are all wide open to him.
Is the power projectable to come for a young guy? I mean, because the fact he's still only 22, I mean,
yeah.
Can that just happen after a guy?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's a great candidate for that, and it's you know, there's experience. It's just at bats there. Sometimes you have to swing at the slider in the dirt to not swing at it. That's just the process of becoming better and the process of gathering experience.
Kevin Alcantara, through his first three games out there, has gone 5-for-8 with a double, a stolen base, 3 RBIs, and 3 runs scored.
Wow.
And Layla, watching him as an athlete, 6'6", he's got some knee bend there at the plate.
Oh, yeah.
to make the strike zone smaller. But there is a glide to him as a runner, which you watch and makes you think of, you know, people like Eric Davis, makes you think just a little bit about Ellie De La Cruz. He's not as toolsy, not quite as fast, but there's a beauty in watching him as an athlete. And he's got the dreadlocks, and when he's running around the bases and the helmet flies off, it's awful fun. And he's nicknamed the Jaguar, and he claws at the dugout after he gets a hit. All that stuff. So there's fun and enjoyment, but there's also a tantalizing skill set.
Yeah, we got the whole experience, I think, in that game against the White Sox on Saturday when you saw that, right? Like, he goes low, especially for his height, to hit that ball to get it to go where it needed to be, and then scores from first on that Michael Bush single. And you saw that. You saw just run around. We don't know if he's stopping at third. Nope. There goes the helmet, and then he's hustling all the way. I think what's going to make you stand out in spring training, and it's stuff like that that really will make a statement early on that will impress those who matter.
Yeah, I think so. And the fact that Counsell saw him last year in a short stint in the majors towards the end and sees some improvement now and sees how the mindset can help. You know, with these guys, it's going to be like, is it better off that they get at-bats in the minors, or is it better off that he's in the big leagues to be some valuable outfield depth on the big league team? And Alcantara, I'm thinking that he might lean that way because he's willing to go the other way. Opposite field ground rule double in the game I did Friday. Another opposite field single later on.
Right.
So and he's, if he's not giving up at bats like that and battles through at bats and willing to go the opposite way, then maybe you're a little more comfortable with him playing intermittently on the big league level while you're trying to win.
Yeah, the Cubs bench is just as important as everything else we've discussed when it comes to trying to figure out if this team's going to be a real playoff contender.
Yeah.
And we mentioned Justin Turner, of course, and I do want to pick your brain about what all you heard the players talk about him about.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to putting together a bench that's productive, is that a guy who can have that mentality and that production when it comes down to mattering in the season?
Couple of White Sox items that matter as we're doing Things That Matter. Spiegs and Layla on the Spiegel and Holmes show here. Colson Montgomery against a lefty in Cubs Sox on Saturday did this and then discussed it.
Playing days were over. That's it well to center field. Alcantara back at the warning track, and that is gone.
White Sox fans will love to see that. Colson Montgomery, two-run homer off a lefty. And the White Sox on the board here in the fourth. Cubs lead 5-2.
Montgomery, big broad-shouldered kid, one of their top prospects. A couple years ago, put up huge numbers. Last year, he had his struggles. But there's a lot of potential here. Strong kid, man. He juiced this one.
It was good. We had a really good game plan before I went up to the plate. Had a little good scouting with Marcus and I. And he just threw it where I was looking. So I was trying to get him over. No outs, guy on second. So I was just trying to do a job. But when it was 0-1, I still got my A swing going. So that's what happened.
Did you know it was gone immediately? It seemed like Murray did. I don't know.
I had a good idea just because we're in Arizona too, so I know the ball flies, and I know I barreled it up pretty well, so I was pretty sure I got it.
And you got him over too, right?
Yeah, and I got him over. Got him over and in.
That's awesome. Colson Montgomery, that one grabbed from Chuck Garfine's Twitter over there. Fun to see lefty-lefty and him get the A swing.
Just the power. That was a ball that was low, and he reached for it and then just sends it straight away center. This is the year for him, right? He turns, 23 on the 27th? So happy early birthday to Colson Montgomery, but Hopefully happy early birthday to Sox fans, because it's time to bring him up, and you want to see him do this at the big league level on a regular basis.
Yeah, so the lefty-on-lefty homer against Caleb Thielbar and the A-swing and yada, 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 but bring him up. The Sox could lean into aggression in a big way with some of their kids this year, and Montgomery at the forefront of the concept, and the whole league would end up talking about that in a pretty positive way, and the fans would love it if they really leaned in to the youth and just let them get up here and play, don't you think?
I mean, I'm old enough to know that sometimes 23 isn't young in baseball, you know? I mean, think about it. Like, the example, of course, is Juan Soto when he was, 19 in the big leagues.
From single A to the bigs.
Right, but in this case, we've been talking about Colson Montgomery for a long time. It's time. I know that there might be a work stoppage, but it is beyond time to see this guy as an opening in the opening day lineup.
And the way that the finances of the game have gone, it's like you could be actually pushing the envelope in that way by being super duper aggressive with the young kids. And again, the fans would freaking love it. And you're going through the trouble of putting great teachers on the big league staff and valuing that. Let the kids learn from the good teachers you're putting on the big league level. They got to learn somewhere. Let them learn on the big league level. I hope the White Sox really lean into that.
Well, and grow with Will Venable, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's something to that, having your shortstop and your manager grow together.
All right, then a signing that really pleased a lot of White Sox fans. Really got them all excited. Just for all the abstract issues, of course. But let's talk about the physical capabilities of the possibilities of Mike Clevinger as a White Sox reliever and or closer. Clevinger's stuff is actually going to play really well out of the bullpen. If he's of an age and limited opportunity, capacity here in terms of like people actually wanting to let him start, and if he's willing to do that shift, which he says he's willing to do, and just lean into it and rear back and fire, he's got the closer and probably the mentality to do that as well. Loathe him all you want, but this screams like a sensible idea from the White Sox perspective.
Jose Quintana was available, although Quintana's arguably still a starter.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you're avoiding multiple times through the order with Mike Clevinger and this is just a baseball conversation, then yeah, I guess closer makes sense. They keep giving him chances.
Well, that's the broader issue. Like, but what's the idea here? What's the idea here to make, to do something? Because here's the overall goal. And Shane, I know you're itching to hop in, and you will, and you should. It's a sign and flip. That's all it is.
They hoped for that last time.
I know, but so now you're going to try and sign him. And not let him start.
And the time before that.
And the time
before that.
But it's a sign and flip as a reliever. You'll get something. You turn him into a reliever, you let him go, you'll get something. I know you didn't get a lot for, you know, Kopech because you're not great at trading. But, like, you'll get something if Mike Clevinger is a valuable reliever come the deadline and showing you that. Somebody will give you something.
I don't know, because they gave away Eric Fetty for nothing. Not that I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, they did a terrible job.
Shane? I don't give a rat's ass what the White Sox can get for Mike Clevinger. I don't give a rat's ass about Mike Clevinger's ability to play baseball and whether or not he can be a reliever. I don't give a rat's ass about Mike Clevinger. I do not want Mike Clevinger in my organization. I don't want him around my young players. I don't want him and his alleged drug habits around these young players.
Oh boy.
And the mushrooms and the psychedelics and the coke, allegedly. I don't want any of that around my organization when you're trying to rebuild and establish who you are now. Mike Clevinger can rot in hell. I don't want him on my baseball team, and I don't want to hear his stupid damn name anymore.
Shane's going full grobber here, folks.
I hate Mike Clevinger, dude. It's one of the worst people on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Put it up on the bulletin board, dude.
Shane knows a lot about this situation.
The first time they signed him, they said they didn't know what was going on.
Right. And then the second time.
And the third time?
Well, the third time, they're really comfortable with it. They're clearly deeply comfortable with it.
There are a lot of people still available.
There is no off season for.
It is. It's a good point on having him around the young players, but the thing is, we heard, didn't we, Shane? Like, we heard last year and the year before that he was fine as
who'd
a
you
teammate.
Hear that from? Who'd you hear that from?
Joe Kelly was one person we heard that from.
Okay.
Well, Joe Kelly
was happy he got out.
Yeah. But dude, there were others.
The issues in the White Sox clubhouse last year, the older guard that people had a problem with, and this is why I turned the ringer off, Dustin, because it's so annoying in the background.
It says Clevinger Mike. Could that be him?
Yeah, that's Mike.
Location the, hell.
The guys who had no problem with Mike Clevinger were the issue in the clubhouse. So go ahead and draw your own conclusions, but...
Oh, in terms of, like, veterans?
Correct.
In terms, okay, well, I mean, those are important conclusions to try and draw.
Yeah, I'm not just talking about my ass here.
I never say anything other than rest his soul, but may he rot and burn in hell. Period, new paragraph.
I'm with you, Les.
What was in the new paragraph? I will never know.
Les would have been so anti-Mike Clevinger, it's not even funny.
Oh, I'm sure he would have. I'm sure he would have, as you are. Al, as I would assume, did it come up on Friday, is Grobber Jr. Mark Grody.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, and I don't know if Grody is leaning into it or if it's unintentional. And I do think this is a thing that matters. And I would much rather talk about this than the preceding topic.
It's just happening. It Grody is morphing into Les Grobstein.
But I can't tell if he's consciously doing it or subconsciously doing it.
At some point, the bit becomes reality. You know, it just it really does. All right.
He walked by carrying a shirt on a hanger a few minutes ago.
It's a shirt on a hanger. It's a newer type of situation.
And I didn't know what was going on there, but I was happy to see Grody.
Man, a lot of people agreeing with the passion from our guy Shane Reardon on Mike Clevinger. I think it's smart to try and turn him into a reliever. Exposing him to your fan base is a whole nother thing.
But, I mean, they have tried to flip him now a couple of times,
yeah,
and they had no takers.
And your point about them being a poor flipper of Fetty and Kopech is an extremely good
I
one.
I really liked Eric Fetty. I thought that was a really good signing.
Me too.
I loved it from the very beginning. I loved the result, and I valued him. And I'm not mad at valuing him. I just don't understand why they didn't value him as much as I did.
Those are things that matter from Cubs and Sox spring training. It is Spiegs and Layla on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Let's talk to the great Ron Coomer next on The Score.